Open your Bibles to Galatians, the first chapter of this epistle to Galatians. So thankful for the truth of the power of the cross, and not just the reality that it was a cross, but what's important is who was on that cross. Brooklyn asked Gabe right before the service, pointed up to this and says, "Uncle Gabe, is that a cross?" And Gabe paused for just a moment. He said, "Well, yes, it is, but it's never been used before." And I responded to Gabe and said, "Well, not at least in that way, right? But certainly the cross that bore our Savior, the cross as a structure itself wasn't what was important. It was who was on the cross that was important." So thankful for our Savior who went to the cross. It's good to be together, to worship again this evening. And I'm looking forward to what God wants to teach us from His Word. We've been going through this epistle to the Galatians on Sunday evenings with a focus on the truth that salvation is a gift of God. Salvation is Jesus Christ plus nothing. It is all of grace. In the first five verses of Galatians 1, we examined God's amazing grace. And then in verses 6 through 10 of this chapter, we examined the pure gospel. This evening, I want us to conclude this chapter by looking at verses 11 through 24. And it's important that we understand what this is about, what Paul is transitioning to as we come to this passage of Scripture. Beginning in verse 11 of chapter 1 and continuing well into chapter 2, Paul essentially writes an autobiography to prove that the gospel he preached and was commissioned to preach came directly from Jesus Christ. And so I want you to follow along as I read Galatians 1, verses 7, or excuse me, 11 through 24. Paul writes, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save Jesus, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me." In this passage, Paul relates the beginning of his Christian experience. How did his Christian experience begin, and how was it continuing? We find the answers to those questions here in Galatians 1, 11 through 24. Everything that he had experienced, which he testified in this passage is explained by the last phrase of verse number 15. Speaking about God, Paul says that God called me by His grace. Friends, don't read too quickly over those words. Paul, previous to those verses, to that phrase, had in the previous verses expressed who he was before meeting Jesus. And then he spoke about who he was after meeting Jesus Christ. Everything he experienced was because God had called him by His grace. These are precious words expressed by Paul that have depth of meaning not only for his life, but also for our lives. As we examine Paul's explanation of his transformation from persecutor to preacher as a product of the call of God's grace, I want us to be challenged to respond to God's call of grace in our own lives. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture, I want you to note three products of God's call of grace in Paul's life. Would you notice, first of all, God's call of grace for salvation? God's call of grace for salvation. Look at the whole of verse 15 again. Paul says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace." Paul opens this portion of the passage with an expression that he wanted the Galatians to know the source, the substance, and the strength of the gospel that he responded to and that he now proclaimed. That's why in verse 11, he says, "But I certify you, brethren." Certify here means I just want to make this known to you. I want to give you assurance of the truth. And he went on to explain to them his experience, his testimony, if you will, how he had come to faith in Jesus Christ, what the source of this gospel was, what the substance of it was, and what the strength of it was. And do you know, it all comes down to one thing, or should I say one person, Jesus Christ. The strength of the gospel is Jesus. The substance of the gospel is Jesus. The source of the gospel is Jesus. Paul says of the gospel that he preached, it was not after man. It hadn't come from man. And he didn't hear the message himself from men, but by the revelation, he says at the end of verse 12, of Jesus Christ. The gospel was to him the revelation of Jesus Christ, but in his case especially, it was revealed to him by Jesus Christ. Being confronted by Jesus Christ himself on the Damascus Road culminated with his personal conversion to Christianity and his commission from Christ. How did Paul's conversion take place? Well, Paul had a story, as we all do. Do you realize that? We all have a story. I'm not talking about your daily story on Facebook or Instagram. We all have a life story. Experiences and circumstances, details, facts about our lives that make up our lives, that is our life story. Paul had a life story. For Paul, he was raised in Judaism. He had, for him, what was a privilege of being schooled by the prominent teachers of his day. Within that religion, he was taught by the most noted theologians and philosophers of his day. Paul says, in that way and under those teachers, he excelled even beyond his peers. In verse number 13 and 14, he speaks about how in verse 14, he profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals of my own nation. That speaks of those his same age. If we looked at Paul's schooling in the rabbinical schools as a grade level, as we do in school today, if you compared him, if he was in sixth grade with all the other sixth graders, he exceeded far above all of his peers. If he was a junior or a senior in high school, a sophomore in college, Paul excelled above all his other peers, those within his classes, within his group, within his own age, to the point where he even uses the terminology that he became a zealot for his religion. I mean, if there was someone that you would point out in his day, if you were even a Jew living in Paul's day, if you were going to point out another Jew and say, well, there's a nut right there, as far as someone who is just over and above, beyond zealous for the religion, you would have pointed at the Apostle Paul. Some of the other Pharisees, perhaps, were envious and jealous of Paul, his knowledge and his understanding and how versed he was in their teachings and how he could win debates and arguments within the school. He knew and followed the Ten Commandments, but he also knew and followed the 613 laws of the Talmud. And beyond that, the endless written and oral traditions of the rabbis. Do you know that the Pharisees grew to a point where it wasn't just about the Ten Commandments, it wasn't just about the 613 laws in the Talmud, but oral traditions and rules were passed down from generation to generation. Certain rabbis were looked up to as being the head interpreters of the law and the laws in the Talmud and the previous oral traditions, to the place where the oral traditions and oral interpretations were held on equal footing with special revelation and inspiration from God. Paul was so steeped in the Jewish religion that is where he was as a young man. He persecuted the church of God and wasted it. That language also gives the idea of one who is just overboard in his zeal and his practice to accomplish an end. In his zeal, he viewed Jesus as a blasphemer, Christians as heretics and wanderers from God and true religion, and Gentiles as the scourge of the earth. If you will, Paul viewed himself as climbing some ladder to reach God and heaven. In Paul's estimation, and those who thought like him of the day, each accomplishment was a step on a ladder, reaching God, reaching heaven. You look at Paul's testimony here in Galatians chapter 1. You look at his testimony as recorded in Philippians chapter 3. He bullets points. I'm a true Jew. I'm an Israelite of all Israelites. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. Look among the Pharisees. You'll not find one more zealous than I am. As we said here in this passage, among mine equals, I excelled them all. I was zealous for the Jewish religion. What was Paul thinking? What was he doing? Every accomplishment, every attainment, every recognition was a step further up the ladder to reach God and to reach heaven. But God's call of grace reached his ears and, more importantly, his heart. And in Acts chapter 9, as Paul was on the Damascus road, headed to Damascus for what purpose? More persecution of Christians. He met Jesus Christ. He heard a call of grace, and it caused him to realize that everything he thought was wrong. Salvation was not about climbing a ladder to reach God and to reach heaven. Rather, salvation was about kneeling at the cross. In a moment, Jesus appeared and revealed himself to Paul on the Damascus road. And Paul realized that everything he thought and his pursuit was that of a wrong path. He came to the realization in a moment that nothing but the grace of God brings salvation. John Phillips wrote, that was what had saved him. Grace and grace alone. In a flash, the light dawned. It was not the law, it was grace. It was not works, it was simple faith. It was not Moses, it was Christ. It was not Sinai, it was Mount Calvary. It was not to be earned, it was to be received. It was not trying, it was trusting. It was not by means of the rules and rituals of religion, however hedged about with truth and tradition. It was by means of the undeserved, undiluted, undying grace of God. Like Paul, you and I have a story. Now, our stories are all different. We've come from different birthplaces. We've been raised differently. We have different life experiences. We have different situations right now. We have different stories. But what is consistent about your life story and mine is that we are sinners. Like Paul, no matter how good we have been or are or have tried to be, no matter what we have tried to do, no matter where we have gone, no matter what we have given, we cannot climb the ladder high enough to reach God and to reach heaven. No matter who we are, where we are, what we have done, we can only reach God and go to heaven if we will respond to God's call of grace. What is that call? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Is that what you need today? There may be someone here in this auditorium, someone listening tonight, who that is what you need in your life. You need to respond to God's call of grace for salvation. Friends, you cannot climb some mythological or philosophical ladder to reach God and to reach heaven. You can only respond to God's call of grace for salvation by kneeling at the cross in faith, believing that Christ died for you. And you can believe in Christ right now, wherever you are. You can trust Christ as your Savior. Would you? I'd invite you to right now. But I'm also talking to some who have responded to God's call of grace for salvation. You can look back to a time in your life where you heard that call, if you will. The message of the gospel was presented. It doesn't matter how that message came to you, be it from a man, a woman, a gospel tract, some radio program, a church service somewhere. The reality is, if you heard that call of grace, regardless of the vehicle by which it came from God. He always takes the first step in salvation. If you've responded to that call of grace for salvation, can I ask you a few questions? Are you still resting in it? You were saved by grace, and friends, you are kept by grace. Salvation is not earned in receiving it, and it is not earned in keeping it. Salvation is not an earned thing. It is a gift that is received. And just as that is true at the moment that you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's true at all times. Rest in what Jesus did for you at Calvary. Are you rejoicing in it? Have you lost your joy, your excitement, your passion that you are a child of God because of His grace? Oh, it hurts my heart when I'm lacking in joy, and it hurts my heart to see believers in Jesus Christ who are children of God and have been made children of God by His grace, who have no joy, who have no excitement, who have no passion that they're a child of God. Are you reveling in it? Are you giving God praise and honor for what He has done for you and brought to you as a child of God because of His grace? For those of us who have responded to God's call of grace for salvation, we have been given a wonderful gift. Rest in it. Rejoice in it. Revel in it. But for those of us who are children of God, I want you to see two more products of God's call of grace that are found here in this text. Not only God's call of grace for salvation, but secondly, would you also see God's call of grace for sanctification? Would you notice the first phrase of verse number 16? Paul, who has already said, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace," says in verse number 16 these words, "to reveal His Son in me." Please carefully note the beginning of that verse. To reveal His Son in me. God not only wanted to reveal Jesus to Paul, listen to this very carefully, He wanted to reveal Jesus in Paul. What does He say? To reveal His Son, not to me here, to reveal His Son in me. This word revealed is used throughout the New Testament to express the idea of God revealing Himself, especially in the way of living and working in man's inner person, his inner being. And so it is not technically about what is taking place on the surface. Paul's not using this here to talk about the idea of others seeing Jesus in me. He's not saying that God's call of grace came to him to reveal Jesus in him so that others would see Jesus Christ in the Apostle Paul. No, technically, Paul is using this phrase here to talk about what God is doing under the surface to produce the character and conduct of His Son in me. Again, the theologian John Phillips wrote of it, "Our salvation involves far more than the forgiveness of our sins. The Lord Jesus not only gave His life for us, but also now gives His life to us. The genius of the gospel is that He who once died for me now, by His indwelling Holy Spirit, lives in me." What a wonderful truth of Scripture. God called out to Paul in His grace to save them, but also to accomplish a work to reveal Jesus Christ in Paul. And what we need to understand as children of God is that this too is a work of grace. Later in the epistle, Paul would write these words in Galatians 3, verses 1 through 3. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. I want you to answer a question for me. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect in the flesh? You see, what Paul would deal with the Galatians about, as we'll see more as we look through this epistle, and what Paul was expressing in chapter number 1 was this truth, that just as salvation isn't about coming and climbing the steps of the ladder to reach God and to reach heaven, it's about kneeling at the cross in faith because it is all of grace. Here's what Paul says to the Galatians. You heard the message and you responded. For salvation you came and you put your faith in Jesus Christ. If you will, you kneeled at the cross. But here's what happened. You kneeled at the cross, but then you heard those false teachers telling you, but it's more than the work of Christ. There's more that needs to be done. You came and knelt at the cross, placing your faith in Christ. But then you got up and ran to the ladder and started climbing the ladder again, to reach God and reach heaven. That's not how it works. Paul says of God's call of grace that God placed that call of grace in his life for the purpose of revealing his Son in Paul. Pastor, what are you trying to say? Simply this, friends, listen. In his grace, God wants to reveal. He wants to produce Jesus in us. Just as salvation is not a work of my own, so this work of God is not a product of my own effort and strength. What does that mean for the child of God? Am I saying tonight that I have no responsibility, no part in my growth as a child of God, that I'm just supposed to hang out in the shade sipping pink lemonade, as my friend Kenny Baldwin would say? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying, though, is that this is not about you climbing the ladder. Having Jesus Christ revealed in your life as a child of God is not a product of some efforts or your own strength or your own works. It's not about your own accomplishments. Once again, it's about kneeling at the cross. It's about submitting to Him, allowing Him to work in you and responding to Him. You know, I think so many times in our churches and Christianity, we get caught up with facades. We would rather put on a show, make everyone think that we have everything together and that we've got this Christian life figured out, rather than being genuine in our need for Christ. Give me a group of Christian brothers and sisters kneeling at the cross rather than a group climbing a ladder. Give me a band of brothers and sisters in Christ who don't have it all together, who are seeking God passionately and investing in the work that He is doing in them. They're kneeling at the foot of the cross, submitting to Him, yielding to Him, allowing Him to work in their lives. They're not trying to put on a show. They're truly seeking God rather than some who think that this Christian life that I'm living is about climbing the ladder, doing things in my own strength, in my own effort, putting on a show for others. Friends, that's not what it's about. It's about His grace working in our lives. Paul would write in Titus that it's His grace that teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust so that we'll live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. It's not about climbing the ladder. It's about kneeling at the cross. God's call of grace for salvation. We've seen God's call of grace for sanctification. Now, finally, let's see God's call of grace produce service. Look at the next part of verse number 16. He says, but when it pleased God, verse 15, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me. Notice that I might preach Him among the heathen. What did Paul's experience with God's call of grace lead to? That I might preach Him. Preach here means to bring the good news of the way of salvation by Jesus' death and resurrection. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul would pen these words in verse number 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. We are not preaching us. We're not preaching our way. We're not preaching our philosophy. We're not preaching our works. We're not preaching our goodness. We're not preaching our righteousness. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves your servants. For Jesus' sake. God's call of grace produced in Paul's life a calling, a mission to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And isn't it so interesting that Paul was commissioned by Jesus Christ specifically to be His apostles to the Gentiles? Paul, who is so versed in the Jewish religion, Paul, who as a Pharisee, though God's law, the Old Covenant, the Old Testament had a way by which the Gentiles could be converted to Judaism, in his form of Judaism, in his legalistic way as a Pharisee, so zealous for Jewry, so zealous for not just the Ten Commandments, but the Talmud and the Mishnah and all that goes along with it. Paul had no use for the Gentile. Paul was not interested in seeing the Gentile come to a faith in the one true God. But as a believer in Jesus Christ, those that Paul would have naturally ignored, those that Paul would have naturally turned his back on, Jesus Christ said, Paul, that's who I'm sending you to. That's who I've called you to go and reach. And on many occasions, Paul testified, that was Jesus' commission in my life. While it's easy for us to recognize that specific context in Paul's life, we would be failing to understand what God is saying and what God is doing if we fail to recognize that God's call of grace produces that call in all of our lives. Paul was sharing his personal testimony, yes. And there is a specific context, yes, surrounded these verses in Galatians chapter 1. His exact story, testimony, as far as how God worked that all out in his life may not look the same for you and me. But friends, the call is no different. God's call of grace in your life and mine leads me to that place of producing service where God has called and commissioned every one of us to be His children, yes, but to also be proclaimers of His gospel. We are called of God not only to receive His grace, but also to be a conduit of His grace to others. Are you actively pursuing and practicing this part of God's call of grace? Who are you actively praying for God to use you to lead to Christ? Is there anyone? Who are you actively developing a relationship with so that you can be in the place to share the gospel with that person when the door is opened? right now, how are you freely sharing the grace that you have freely received? God's call of grace leads to service. Friends, I believe that right now, God is extending His call of grace to many hearts. Do you need to be saved? God invites you to receive His free gift of salvation. You can be forgiven of every sin, be adopted into His family, be secured for eternity, and be restored to purpose in life by answering His call of grace. Receive Jesus Christ. You will not reach God. You will not reach heaven by stepping on the steps of a ladder to climb and try to reach your way. You will only reach God, reach heaven by coming to Jesus Christ in faith, kneeling at the cross. When you do, every sin, every wrong will be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, you don't know my life. You don't know what I've done. Paul was a murderer. God saved him. If you've already received Christ, are you resting, rejoicing, and reveling in the grace that you have been gifted? And every child of God is still experiencing sanctification. Are you yielding? Everything I am as a child of God, I am by His grace. He has provided all that I need for Jesus to be revealed in me. But I can hide Him. I can disobey Him. I can rebel against Him. I can wander from Him. Friends, if you've wandered from God, if you've wandered from Him, God will graciously forgive you, cleanse you, and restore you. Confess your sin. Ask for His forgiveness. Yield to His leading in your life. Grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Allow Jesus to live in and through you. That's what God wants to do by His grace in your life. You don't have to work it up. You don't have to put on a show. Kneel at the cross, yield to Him, and He'll do the work. Are you involved in His service? Every believer is called to serve Him, and by the way, He enables you by His grace to do so. Are you serving Him? In what ways are you serving Him as a receiver and a conduit of His grace? God's call of grace bring salvation. It produces sanctification. It calls us to service. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for just a few moments, no one looking around? Oh, aren't you thankful for God's call of grace? That it hasn't just been extended to Paul, but it's been extended to you and to me. I'm so thankful for God's call of grace in my life. When as a 10-year-old young man, I sat under the preaching of the Word of God, recognized that I was a sinner condemned before Him, and that only trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ would save me. Friends, if that's what your need is tonight, I invite you wherever you may be, whether here in this auditorium, watching or listening to the message on the internet, wherever you may be right now, to trust Jesus Christ. Simply call out to Him in your heart, believing that He died for your sin, was buried, and rose again. If you turn away from whatever your belief has been, whatever your thought has been about how you can reach God and reach heaven, and turn in faith to Him, believing that only He and He alone is sufficient to pay for your sin and be your Savior, God will save you now. As a child of God, those of you who have already responded to His call of grace to be saved, are you resting in that? You're saved by grace and grace alone. Are you rejoicing in that? Are you reveling in that? Praising His holy name for what He's done? He wants to work to reveal Jesus in you, to produce Jesus in your life. It's not done by your own strength, by your own efforts. Yield to Him. Respond to what He's doing. Follow Him. And then be a conduit of His grace, not just a recipient. Don't just be a bucket that's catching all the water flowing into it. But be one who is taking what you've been given and getting it out to others too. Sharing what God's done for you with others. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask Darylin to begin to play. You can remain right in your seats, but as you do, if God is speaking to your heart, won't you respond to the Lord right now? Perhaps God has spoken to you in a specific way from the message about a sin issue that needs to be confessed in your life. Perhaps it's that issue of putting on a facade that needs to be confessed, living in your own effort, your own strength. Perhaps you need to ask God to help you to be faithful in your service to Him in sharing the message of His grace with others. Maybe you need to be safe tonight, friends, whatever it is. If God's working in your heart right now, wherever you are, would you respond to the Lord? Lord, thank You so much again for the privilege of being here in this place tonight to worship You, to hear from Your Word. Thank You so much for the call of Your grace in our lives. I pray that You would help us to respond as needed in our own lives to the call of Your grace, just as Paul did in his life. Lord, I pray that through it we would bring honor and glory to Your name. And as was said of Paul at the end of that text, that others would see it and glorify God's work in our lives. And we'll be sure to praise and thank You for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.